Now, if you know the verses of that song that we just sang, and I don't know that any of you do, I don't know that I do either, I could probably get halfway through some of them, and I know what they're supposed to say or whatever. But if I were to ask you tonight, if you were asked, what is this water that we sing about? What is the water that we're referring to in that song? Or what are these springs of living water? And what is the water we sang about water in the first song, too? I think we did. I'm living on the mountain underneath the cloud of the sky. I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. What is that fountain? What is that water? Anybody have any idea? Okay, now Brother Bob said the Holy Spirit. Now, whatever Brother Bob says, just go with it. If you have any sense, you're not going to want to argue with him, with his not just his age and experience, but his understanding of the Scripture. The Holy Spirit. Does anybody have a different idea about what that water is? Water. We sang about it. Okay, so what is that water? There is a thirst in all humanity that cannot be satisfied by anything else. So that water is the thirst quenching for all humanity. The Holy Spirit. Right? It's who?
It is Jesus.
Okay, now, again, Brother Bob, and don't, I'm not going to, and she's right. It's Jesus. It's Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Now, here's a question. Is the Holy Spirit Jesus? Oh, wow. Now we're getting too deep and we're about ready to drown. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. Now, that's Brother Frank Alcamo, and there's another one that you don't want to, if he agree. Okay. And so far, I think we could agree, can we not? Jesus is God, the Holy Spirit God?
Yes.
So we're all one here. Now, I'm not going to try to explain that because I don't know that I could. But when we're talking about or singing about this water, in the song, There is a River, one of the verses says, there was a thirsty woman who was drawing from a well. Her life was ruined and wasted. Her soul was bound for hell. Then she met the Master, who told of her great sin. If you'll drink this water, you'll never thirst again. Now, who is the water that she needed to drink? Well, it was that life-giving stream that everybody's thirsty for. They maybe just don't know it. And this woman was thirsty, but she just didn't know it. But when she finally found out that Jesus is the fountain of living water, and that if you drink from that fountain, your sin problem will be taken care of. And she drank. She drank and her life was changed. That song has another verse to it. I don't know if it has a middle verse, but the other verse, and I'm not sure I can quote it, but it talks about the upper room and about a bunch of disciples that were gathered in that upper room and how they drank from that river also. They drank that life-giving stream, and that life-giving stream, in their case, was Jesus, but really also we can more succinctly maybe say the Holy Spirit. So a lot of times in the Bible, in context, may dictate or determine for us whether or not we're talking about the water that quenches our thirst and saves us from sin, or the water that quenches our thirst and flows into us and then through us that becomes a river of living water. But it's really all Jesus. It's all God. It's all His Spirit. It's all Him. And that's why we center in Jesus. We want Him. I don't care what words we use or semantics. I was in one place. I was invited to go say something in one church for a few days. And someone that camp knew and lives out in California, no place that anybody here comes from, but they lived in a certain community, and they went to a church that didn't believe about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and so they allowed me to come, but I wasn't allowed to talk about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And so I went, and I didn't talk about the bad. I talked about the updraft, that their Lord wants to bring us up, and there's an updraft. And if I would have called the people to come to seek for the baptism, they'd all walk out the door. They wouldn't come anywhere. But I told them to come, and let's all seek for the updraft. I don't know what an updraft is. I don't know, but we want to be caught up. We want to be lifted up. We want to go up, and we want something to pull us higher. And so I wanted them to come and get filled with the Holy Spirit, whether they knew it or not, or whether they wanted him to fill them or not. But, you know, there's a good amount of scripture. It just turns me to one place. It's in that psalm that's found in the book of Isaiah. You know what psalm that is? There are no psalms in Isaiah, you're saying that. Oh, yeah, there's one that at least more than one. Well, there's a good one. Well, you know what chapter that is? 35 is another good one. Yeah, I was thinking that too. But I got a better, I think Psalm 12 or Isaiah 12. And if you have a Bible, and I'm only going to read one phrase, I think, in there. The whole chapter there, Isaiah is talking about, on that day you shall say. And that day is a day of salvation, a day where Jesus comes, a day that Isaiah is prophetically looking forward to. And that day thou shalt say, praise the Lord. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I shall trust and not be afraid. Jehovah is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. That's how he begins his psalm. The whole thing goes on to talk about crying out and shouting, great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. And the whole psalm, or the whole chapter, Isaiah chapter 12, is just filled with joy and filled with singing. But the part that I left out is the part that talks about with joy. With joy shall ye draw water out of the wells, plural, S on the end of it. I don't know if it's an S in the original Hebrew, but it's plural in the Hebrew also. There's more than one well. There are wells of salvation. And you and I have the privilege and the opportunity to, with joy, draw out of these wells of salvation. You know, they knew more than we know about wells. I come from New York City. Not very many people have wells in New York City, and I don't think I've ever drawn water out of a well. Maybe I have, I'm not sure. But I don't think I can ever remember doing that. But I know its work, and I know in the Old Testament they had wells, and I know the children of Israel dug their own wells and needed to get water, and that was their lifeline. Because water is your lifeline. You can't live in a place where there is no water. That's why many times, even in America, the settlers settled on the coasts. Well, that's where they landed. And when people in the olden days, back in Israel, they would try to find water. Spring up, O well. Spring up, O well. We need water. And where we're going to live is where there's water, because that's where there's vegetation. That's where we can quench our thirst and feed our animals. And so it's important to them as not just a convenience or something to, you know, it was their lifeline. And when in the Old Testament you read about wells, we're reading about life. Water equaled life for these Old Testament patriarchs. And for us it does also. We talked, or was it this morning? Every meeting kind of blends into one another, about abundant life. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Well, I've come that you might have water and that you might have more water and that you might keep drinking the water, because there's a vast supply to satiate and to quench your thirst. And if you start thirsting again, there's a vast fresh supply. And that's why we continually want to be filled with this water and drink this water, so that there's life in us. With joy, draw water out of those wells of salvation. You know, I'm glad it's a joyful way. And you read the whole chapter, and it's a singing way. It's a rejoicing way. Brother Tom mentioned Isaiah 35, which is almost like a psalm too. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. And it talks about the way of holiness that they're traveling on. The unclean don't walk on that way. Nothing impure that defiles walks on that way. That's a road reserved for the redeemed. And they're going to Zion, and they're marching to Zion with songs of joy. It's a happy bunch of people. It's a happy community of believers. There used to be a man, Brother Izzy, Sister Carol, you'll remember Bernard Heitman. Old Brother Bernard from Ozone Park. I'm sure I've told this story here at camp before, because the day after I told it last time, I found it on the coffee maker upstairs in the middle dining room there. You remember that? It's still there? Oh, good. I'm glad it's still there. Now you know where it came from. It came from a man who was unfortunate. He had an unfortunate upbringing. He never had education. And when I met him and got to know him, he was already a middle-aged, older man who, for an occupation, would give out flyers door-to-door from whatever store and advertisements, or he would pick up bottles or cans and redeem them. And I got to know Bernard a little bit when he needed to find a place to live, and he didn't have much of an income. And so it would have been a hard task. God opened up the door a miraculous way, found him a room in a house of a man who would take care of him somewhat and look after him. Just couldn't bring the cans inside the house, kept them outside in different plastic bags. But Bernard loved Jesus. And as I say, idiosyncrasies and a little odd and all the rest. But one meeting that we were in, he used to sit, if I stood here, he sat in the back on the left side in the last row. And usually a very quiet man. I don't remember him ever giving a testimony before. Usually just came to the meeting and enjoyed the services. But every once in a while, the Holy Spirit would just touch his heart. And he would bellow out. He would bellow out. He would say, "Glory." Now, I could probably pretty much say it the way he said it, but it was almost like a groan. "Glory! Glory!" In one meeting, it was kind of a quiet meeting, and all of a sudden he started, the glory of God just came down upon him, and he just started to worship the Lord and glory, 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 glory. And then he said these infamous words that you could read on the coffee maker upstairs. He said, "Better to bubble all over the joint than never to bubble at all." Thank you. Yeah. I thought, this is Bernard. He's a theologian after all. Better to bubble all over the joint. And he was just bubbling all over the joint. Now, I think we maybe had sung that little chorus that you probably don't know either, but it goes, "It's bubbling, it's bubbling, it's bubbling in my soul. We're singing and shouting. Since Jesus, nobody's going to help me sing. Since Jesus made me whole. Folks don't understand it, but I can't keep it quiet. It's bubbling, 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 bubbling day and night. It's bubbling, it's bubbling." Oh, let's get a better key then. "It's bubbling, it's bubbling, it's bubbling in my soul. We're singing and shouting since Jesus made us whole. Folks don't understand it, but I can't keep it quiet. It's bubbling, 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 bubbling day and night." And I don't know what happened in the meeting, but a few minutes after that, the glory of God just came down. And Brother Bernard let out with that famous line, "Oh, it's better to bubble all over the joint." Did you ever bubble all over the joint? Did you ever bubble all over Pilgrim Camp? I mean, it just welled up within you. You just drank so much that it had to have an outlet. And you didn't know how to let it go, but you had to let it go somehow or other. And it came out through your mouth, through your voice, and maybe some other way. But I just can't keep it quiet. It reminds me of another song that I heard one of our ministers, older, much older, now gone to be with the Lord. But I was in his car as a little, not a little boy, I guess I might have been a teenager at the time. And he had on a choir that was singing this song. It was a spiritual. And you would think, wow, I don't know if the ministers listened to this. Well, he did. He was listening to a choir singing another song. And one, the leader of the choir, or the vocalist, the soloist, was singing, "Sit down." Well, that's it. "Sit down." And the rest of the choir responded, "I can't sit down." And then she said, "Sit down. I can't sit down." And she said it a third time, "Sit down. I can't sit down. I just got religion and I feel brand new. I'm filled with the fire and the Holy Ghost too. Sit down. I can't sit down. It's bubbling. It's bubbling in my soul. I'm singing, I'm shouting, I'm laughing, I'm dancing, I'm rejoicing. Since Jesus made me whole." Folks don't understand it. They'll think you lost your brains. The marbles leaked out somewhere. Oh, no, they didn't. It's the Holy Ghost. And you know what they did on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost came? There was a bunch of people that said, "They must be drunk. They must be drunk, but it's so early in the morning. They couldn't have been drinking so much. Why, they're just laughing and they're shouting and they're carrying on. There must be a bunch of drunkards." Oh, no, they're not drunk. This is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel. They're just drawing out of these wells of salvation. And you draw enough and it'll bubble all over the joint. You watch. You say, "Well, I'm not that kind of a person. I'm not a bubbler. Neither am I." Ask Sister Mary Ann. She likes to tell everybody at camp. "I knew Ernie when he was very shy.
That's right.
And when he never said boo. And when he..." And that's the way I am. I am shy. I am... You think I want to do this? I don't want to do this. You want to take my place? I'd be happy to go sit down. I do what I do because I can't do anything else. And not because I don't have the skills, maybe that too, but this is what God wants me to do. That's the only reason why. And I'm not that extroverted at all. But every once in a while, does God ever pour out his spirit? I was down in the village and in one of the altar services, and one of the campers, a Nonantum boy, was playing the keyboard for the meeting and the altar service. And we were praising the Lord, and God was pouring out his spirit there in the village. That's why I love to go, just to go walk up in there, just to see the altar. Tomorrow when I go in there and I see the altar in the front, I'll remember the time that was filled with boys calling on God, and then it would just bubble all over the joint. And this one would begin to worship the Lord, and this one, and here the piano player was there, and I went over to pray with him, and we had just finished singing, or he was finished playing and singing, "Fill my cup, Lord. Fill my cup, Lord." And he said, I heard him say, "Lord, I can't take anymore. I can't take anymore. I can't take anymore." I don't know if you've ever gotten to that place where you're just so filled with the glory of God. Filled with the glory of God. That you just can't take anymore. Well, I went over to him and I said, "Lord, expand his capacity. Make the cup bigger and larger, that there may be an increase and an overflow that flows to who knows where and who knows how many." That's the way God wants to work in you and in me. With joy, we draw water out of these wells of salvation. And the enemy would like to come and dam up those wells. It's maybe in, I don't know, Genesis 26 or something like that, you read. And Isaac re-dug the wells that his father Abraham had dug out. That was a lot of work. It's a lot of work to dig a well. But once you got the thing dug and the water starts to flow, now you're in business. But they were digging and digging, Abraham was, and they finally got, or maybe his servants were, and they finally got the water at the bottom of the well, and then enemies would come. And it was just the way enemies would work. They would come and they would throw junk in the well, try to plug it up, because water equals life. And if you can cut off the water supply, you can cut off their life. And so the world and the flesh and the devil comes and tries to throw junk in your well, where you're drawing water, the well of salvation. And the enemy comes and he does this and he does that. And you could make a list a mile long of what he would like to throw in there. Some of it is socially acceptable. Okay? I'm not just talking about drugs and alcohol or the other biggies, baddies. Maybe I'm talking about money. What? Money? My God? I mean, money? Yeah, that money. Or maybe I'm talking about just some, esteem or recognition or whatever it might be. And the enemy will puff you up. The enemy will make you to feel that this is what your value and your worth is found in, or whatever it might be. And it gets thrown into that well, and it dams up what God would like to do. And every once in a while, you got to get that thing cleaned out. That's why we come to camp. That's what this is all about. We come and we come to the fountain. We come to the cross. I mean, I come to camp every year. I hope it's a different text every year, and it's not the same thing over and over. But it's the same message. It never changes. I hope it never, ever, ever changes. We need Jesus. We need to keep down at the foot of the cross. We need the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us, because we have to be cleaned if we're going to be filled with the Spirit. And then we need to be filled with the Spirit and let it bubble all over the joint. And let Jesus have his way. And let him fill us and flow through us. You have, again, Jeremiah 2, Jeremiah 17 or 18, where the Lord says through Jeremiah to his people, you forsook me, the fountain of water. And now you're trying to dig your own cisterns, find your own water supply, and nothing holds water. You forsook me. I am the fountain. And I'm so thankful that we have the opportunity in the meetings, in the, out of the meetings, and all day, to just run to Jesus, just to open our hearts to Jesus. You're out on Watch Rock, walking the road, swimming in the lake, wherever you might be. God is here in a marked way. And we recognize that. And that's why some of you got on an airplane to get to Pilgrim Camp. And some of you traveled across the puddle from Hong Kong to get to Pilgrim Camp. Well, why did you do that? You did that because Jesus is here. His presence is here. You want to meet him. You want to be filled with water. And wherever we're up to in this whole spectrum, and we never graduate from any part of it, give me this drink. Give me this drink. That's what the lady said there in John 4. And then three chapters later, Jesus is saying, out of your innermost being, there's going to flow this river of living water. It's all the same. It's Jesus. It's himself. Jesus, I want you. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I hunger for you. I thirst for you. And Lord, if I feel that I can't take any more, then expand my capacity. But maybe, I don't know, every one of us here, we maybe say, Lord, I could use more. I need you more. Amen. And so don't ever be afraid. Today, tomorrow, the next day, in any meeting that we're in, don't hold back. Don't be afraid of yourself. That is your voice. Oh, if I lifted up my hands, everybody would see. Nobody cares. Lift up your hands. Open your mouth. Oh, no, somebody else is going to. Nobody cares about you singing. Don't be so self-conscious. The devil would like to make you think. Keep your mouth shut. Just sit there on your hands and do nothing and say, Lord, here I am. With joy, you draw water. It doesn't say you sit there and the water will dump on you if he wants to dump the water on you when he wants to. No, you go get your bucket, go put it down in there and start pulling. And after a little while, you'll find that the water will flow. And the Holy Spirit will flow. And Jesus will come. And he'll manifest himself to every one of us. Oh, everyone that is thirsty in spirit. Oh, everyone that is weary and sad. Come on to the fountain. There's fullness in Jesus. All that you're longing for, come and be glad. Child of the world, are you tired of your bondage, foot sore, and weary or so disillusioned by the what's called the earth joys, but they're empty? Why, come to Jesus. Come to that fountain. And you'll find that there's something that satisfies your thirst. And then, child of the kingdom, be filled with the Spirit. It's nothing but fullness thy longing can meet. 'Tis the endowment for life and for service, and to you has been given the promise that we talked about so much already from Joel 2, and we read it from Acts 2, the promise so certain and so sweet.